Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Faisal, let's discuss some of the flaws of retirement planning, because I think that people make a number of either critical missteps or have a misunderstanding of the process that leads to some problems.
And part of it is how our industry has placed it. Initially, a retirement plan was based on answering the key question, what kind of income can I have throughout my life?
Right.
Either an after-tax or pre-tax, after inflation or before inflation. That's not the point. The point is, what kind of income? It's an income calculation.
Correct.
Okay. And then fast forward into the planning world's history, they started being goal-oriented on major goals. Goals like education or house purchase. And that became the next round or add-on to the system of financial planning. But as people started getting older and into retirement, they stopped forecasting their needs in the future. So as a young family, let's pick on them, their concerns are, I want to buy a house because I want to get a bigger home. I've got more kids coming. And they can actually predict things that are going to happen in the future,
right,
with some reasonable assurance there. So they want to be financially prepared for that. In retirement, not too many forecasts of the future of expenses that come up until they come up.
Right.
And let me give you an example. A couple in their 70s chatting with me, they're listeners of the show, and they're like, well, we need a plan for our cash flow. How does that look from when you look at a second opinion, Faisal? I looked at their numbers. I said, you know, conceptually, I think you can be okay with your cash flow. Tell me a bit more about your lifestyle. They tell me that they have a car, two cars. One car is like 10 years old. When are you buying a car? What do you mean? You don't anticipate replacing your car ever?
Right.
Huh. Never thought about that. Okay. Well, how old's your house? It's a nice bungalow, 1976, south end of the city. When was the last time you had renovations? Oh, in the 80s. You don't plan on doing any renovations in your home? Haven't thought about that. It's like it comes up when it comes up.
Right.
And so sometimes the feeling from my end is that you get thrown the problem when the problem arises. I can only imagine what doctors go through.
Right. Same thing.
Right. Like the doctor will come to you, go to the doctor. Oh, my knee hurts. Or, oh, I have this problem. Oh, and they write a prescription and off you go.
Right.
Until the next problem. It's a very reactive system.
Yep.
When I find retirement planning is no longer a proactive plan, it turns into reactive because people didn't think about big ticket expenses going out potentially, or at least planning for it.
Right.
And so then you get these big spikes of capital that you need, potentially big spikes in income, potentially drawbacks or clawbacks in your tax situation. Oh my God, why? It's not working. I can't believe it's not working. And my retirement is not as I envisioned it. Well, you didn't vision these issues. So I think the flaws of retirement planning come into play when people don't look at some of the big ticket items that they're going to experience over the longer term and need to kind of just map it out. You bought a car, it's not going to last for you forever. Generally speaking, the average car stays for 7 years if you bought it. If you lease it, 3 years. So it's going to be another capital expenditure coming out of there. And so on and so forth. So I think this is a big concern when it comes to the shock of a retirement plan and where it becomes flawed, because it's only focused on income planning, not future goal planning.
I'm going to actually get a little bit more basic. My frustration is similar, but where some of the flaws come from on a very, very basic level is I think people equate retirement to their savings and their portfolio. That's it. Retirement equals portfolio. I think you get a little bit more sophisticated when you start talking about cash flows. but I think it's that basic, because I see, you know, you get ups and downs on monthly, daily, yearly basis. And it's shocking to me how people, we get trapped in that short term. Your retirement isn't your portfolio. It's complex. It goes beyond that, including all the things you talked about, right?
Yeah.
Not all cash flows created the same, even if you were in the cash flow camp. Where do I get my cash flow from to be tax efficient and tax effective.
Can I add to that one point I think people need to understand? Let's pick out, and I'm going to make up a number here, 4% interest rate.
Okay.
Is 4% interest the same as 4% capital gain?
No.
And so the 4% is the number you put into the financial software that says if you get that rate of return on average, and in many financial software, it's every year.
Right.
Then you're going to win. Right. You're going to be fine. You'll be okay with your cash flow. What it doesn't always take into account is the tax exposure, and on top of that, the risk exposure.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it comes down to what's the asset allocation mix, and let's put an assumption of a certain rate of return for certain type of investments that you're going to have in the portfolio, and that assumes you have those same type of investments for the rest of your life.
So you were predicting, I think it was last show, maybe the show before, that this year, firms are going to start coming out with their numbers on their portfolio.
They've done that, Dave.
I know.
They've done that. This is hilarious because after we talked about this, I'm like, watch, it's going to happen. Yeah, yeah. And here I go, and I get inundated with all these companies' reports, and then they're bragging rights. So with companies, it's a mutual fund company, they come out and they go, look, surprise, look at our numbers. You should be investing in our fund and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I get four different emails from four different fund companies, and they put out, guess what? Take a look at our 10-year performance. Yeah. Woohoo! Look how great we did. Number one in the 10-year category, or top 10%, or top quartile, or whatever numbers they want to brag about. Okay, not a single one of them talked about how much risk you have to take on in order to get that.
Right.
Not a single one.
Right.
And I'm just like, can somebody please educate the audience that's reading these emails that says, how about the best rate of return for the risk you're going to take?
Right.
Because there's some fantastic returns out there. Fantastic. If you can stomach the risks.
That's exactly right. And we talk about, again, there's some flawed thinking when you get to retirement. The rules of investing change. We talk about that. Risk becomes very important in retirement. It's called the sequence of returns. Anybody that wants to do the research about it.
Yep.
But it becomes really important about the timing of that. So you predicted it. We had a chuckle before we came on air today. That is, boy, here we just got hit with it. And people need to be very careful about this.
Here's where understanding what the risk you have to accept in order to get a similar type of return that's happened in the past is very important. You talked about sequence of returns. And we talk about this in our seminars on a regular basis because it's a mathematical risk.
Right.
Now, what's a mathematical risk that we don't always talk about is the psychological reaction that you have when you see your portfolio down. Okay. Everybody in our industry knows when the markets go down, people will react. Some will capitulate. If there was no capitulation, if people wouldn't just sell their portfolio.
Right. They get scared, right? And they sell the cash. Scared. Or, yeah.
It's down, the world's going to come to an end, or whatever their thesis is, and they sell. Every single commercial that we see about performance is under the assumption you never sold.
Correct.
Every single commercial about fees is assuming you have no psychological reaction to anything that happens. Every single commercial that we see about advisors and so forth, do not talk about how they're going to help you with the psychology of money versus just the risk of the money.
Right.
The psychology of what happens. You watch and mark my words. We see another 10, 15, 20% hit in the markets. Let's see how much money exits the market.
Yeah.
Let's see how much money. And that tells me that people are not comfortable.
Okay. Let's wrap that up on that note. We've got a seminar coming up to try to make sense of all of what we've just said.
We're going to put it all together on Tuesday, March 5th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on QR Calgary. On behalf of Faisal and myself, Dave, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.